Well, I'm an Aussie. My name's Graham, actually. Please call me Graham. And I've been here, me and my wife, who's Aussie also, but Nepalese by birth. We've been here 10 years now at the leprosy hospital. This is our third spell here in Nepal. I came here as a paediatrician in 1973, before you were born, Rajesh. I came here in 1973 from Prince of Wales Hospital, Children's Hospital, and started work as a paediatrician here. And I fell in love with the Nepalese people. That's why I married one of the nurses there. And I especially loved the children, and especially those who were very, very poor and needy. And so, you know, as I said, this is my third spell here. I was here also for the World Health Organization in the early 1980s, and now we've been here on this occasion for 10 years or so down at Valgard Leprosy Hospital.
Some of the challenges that you saw in the early 70s and the challenges that you see now in terms of the work you do, could you briefly tell us about that as well and how it has been going for you?
I suppose the biggest difference is the changes that have occurred in Nepal itself. 1970s, Nepal was a very different land. And in terms of medicine and pediatrics, you know, it was a great shock to come here because after Prince of Wales type pediatrics, I was plunged into work with 200, 300 children a morning with things like diphtheria and malnutrition and measles and meningitis and tuberculosis and typhoid and all those dreadful tropical diseases that cause such a high mortality. And in those days, you know, one third to a half the children died before the age of five. Well, it's different from that now, and health is considerably better here in Nepal, and there's a much better health system. Out in the communities, the health posts and things are still pretty basic, but we don't see diphtheria and some of those illnesses anymore because of vaccinations. So no more tracheostomies on the doorstep of the hospital like it used to do. But leprosy down here is a neglected, hidden disease, and it's rampant down here. And so, you know, I'll talk to you a bit about that. But it's a major public health problem, and it's been hidden in the past.
And there have been quite a few public awareness campaigns as well regarding leprosy and its treatment as well. In terms of the attitude towards people with leprosy, have you found any change in the recent years or not really? Is it still the negative attitude towards people with leprosy?
Yeah, there has been a change, but change in sort of community attitudes is very, very slow. So it's not as bad as it used to be, but still now there is considerable stigma. You know, so many of our patients, we have many children with leprosy here. They can't attend school. They're not allowed in the school classroom. And families who have leprosy in the family often aren't allowed to use the village shop or the village well. And even at the health posts or even at larger hospitals, people don't want to treat someone who turns up with leprosy. It's still, there's a lot of stigma still, marginalization, ostracism, that sort of thing. It's all tied up with both a feeling that leprosy hasn't been cured, even when it has, because it's the disabilities are still progressive, and superstition as well, that leprosy is somehow tied up with evil or sins or punishment by the gods or something like that.
And so how do you manage it? How do you manage that sort of attitude?
Well, there's two things really to say. On the public health side, on the community side, we have a major community program here. We officially cover four districts in Nepal for the government's national leprosy program. That's 2.5 million people. And we have been progressively establishing self-help groups made up of ex-leprosy patients. So we've got 101 of those out across the community. And so they're very good at sort of, with a little support from us, at learning trades and producing goods and things that villagers need, you know, sewing and embroidery and basket making and selling things in shops, which we help set them up with microcredit. And then they're wanted in the village, so, you know, their products are needed, and that helps eliminate stigma. We've also got, there's village dramas. There's a village drama team that goes around non-stop throughout the year, and video programs and radio. So that's all the sort of the public sort of side. On the patient side here at hospital, every single patient, I mean, we still get 1,300 new leprosy patients every year, and 12,800 last year returning leprosy patients. It's a massive problem. Every single leprosy patient gets counselled, and they need to be counselled because of the consequences, the continuing consequences of leprosy. They need to be told that leprosy is curable. They need to know that if they come early, they can be totally cured. They need to know that they are likely to get leprosy reactions and need to come back, and they need to be aware of how to treat and how to look after the disabilities they already have so these don't progress.
Yep, and you do specialize in the area of nutrition as well. Considering the current situation in the country as well, what's the situation like in terms of malnutrition?
It really depends, Rajesh, where you are in the country. You know, if you're in the middle area and around Kathmandu, you don't see much malnutrition. If you're down here in the villages, we're down in the Terai near the Indian border. We're due south of Mount Everest, so we're further east than Kathmandu. There is a lot of malnourished children in the villages, just mild malnutrition. That's stunting and not growing properly. There's also a lot of malnourished women. You know, literacy here is very poor. It's only about 50% in women. And literacy goes hand in hand with good nutrition. And many women of childbearing age are severely anemic. So that's a major cause of mortality in women at childbirth. And so it's both women of childbearing age who are a vulnerable group to malnutrition and children under the age of 5. I need to add that there is a much more severe problem right at the moment with nutrition, food shortage and malnutrition because of the earthquake situation, which we've been heavily involved with relief programs. And, you know, if you look at the latest United Nations figures, there are still about 1.7 million people who haven't got proper shelter while the cold Himalayan winter is here. And there's about 530,000 people who are acutely food insecure, and they're at risk of malnutrition and anemia and vitamin A deficiency, blindness and those sort of things.
How much longer are you planning to stay in Nepal?
I think we'll be here at least another 2 years. Mm-hmm. We're embarking on a major sort of expansion and a program to try and help the leprosy hospital here stand on its own feet. I mean, we see last year we had 87,000 outpatients. So it's very, very, very busy. We have a small staff. And rather than relying on donations, which has been tended to be the past thing, which are hard to get, especially for leprosy, I have to say, donations are fairly scarce. Leprosy is hidden. We're trying very hard to make the hospital here much more self-sustainable and generate income by increasing our range of specialties for non-leprosy patients. And, you know, we have such a huge number that come through. You can still look after poor people, charging them very little, but helping them become self-sustainable. So we're likely to be here for at least another 2 or 3 years. My heart is sort of here. I don't know what I'd do if I wasn't here. So it's lovely.
So
we're very happy to be here.
So hopefully we'll get to hear more great things from you in the coming year or so. But thank you very much for giving us your time today, Dr.
Thanks,
Cluxton.
Rajesh. Thank you.